We are continuing in our study of the Beatitudes this morning. Our study of the Beatitudes, and the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 are designed to be, and I use this in quotes, countercultural. The reason I use that in quotes is because this is a buzzword in modern religious writing, this concept of countercultural. And if you read modern, and it's not just like academic writing, but pop writing, perhaps, is a good way of saying it. If you read any modern Christian pop writing, this word comes up a lot, this idea of countercultural, that we're supposed to go against culture. But at its core, this word simply conveys an idea that our thoughts and our actions should not be the same as the majority of the world. And this is not a new idea. The word is different, countercultural, and it sounds cool and it sounds hip, but it's simply expressing an idea that Jesus himself taught. Matthew 7, 13 through 14, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. Those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." If this is true, and again, these are the words of Jesus, so they're probably true. If this is true, then our thoughts and actions should not be the same as the majority. You should not be living the same way that everybody else lives. You should be the minority in the way that you think, in the way that you feel, in the way that you do, simply by the fact that Jesus says, those who find it are few. So when he's talking about the Beatitudes, this idea of countercultural, this is what he means. Blessed are the blank, for they shall blank. These are things that society would not think are great. These are things that society as a whole should not want. These are things that society would reject. These are, by every sense of the word, countercultural. That is to say, these are things that the minority should want to possess. But not everybody's going to want these things. We read in Matthew 5, 5, the Beatitude for this week, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." As we examine meekness and the blessing, we will see exactly how Jesus means this to be countercultural, in the same way that we looked at blessed are the poor in spirit and blessed are those who mourn, things that are not the way that the majority of people would want to be. What does it mean to be meek? That's where we start. We see this, and we're going to go through this in an inductive way, inductive reasoning. What does it mean to be meek? I'm not just going to give you the definition, but let's look at some sort of roundabout ways that we can come to understand what this means. We see what meekness is in the attitude of many of the Lord's servants. We're going to look at two particularly, beginning with Moses in Numbers 12, 1 through 3. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman as opposed to a woman from his own nation. And they said, Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not also spoken through us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all the people who are on the face of the earth. This is a superlative that is only used a couple of times in Scripture. There's very small amount of times in Scripture where God calls somebody the most of a thing. It was said of Solomon in wisdom that he was literally the wisest man who's ever lived. And it said here of Moses and meekness. And when the Lord uses a superlative, it is something to pay attention to because he uses it so infrequently. The man Moses was more meek than everyone else, literally than everyone else. When God says that, it is time to pay attention. What does that mean, that Moses was very meek? Why would the narrative interject about Moses' meekness here? Now, we're going to break up this passage in Numbers 12. We're going to read this part, and then later on in the sermon, we're going to come back to the rest of the story. This idea of meekness is very important in how Moses deals with this criticism, because isn't that what's happening? They're criticizing Moses' leadership. They're saying Moses should not be in charge. Moses is not the only prophet. Moses is not the only one who God has spoken through. Why is he in charge and not us? Was Moses a weak person or a powerless person? Did he not have authority? Was it not Moses who smote the Egyptians in the plagues? Was it not Moses who led the people out of Israel? Was it not Moses who led them through the crossing of the Red Sea. Moses was not, by any definition of the word, weak. He was not powerless. He had authority. So what does it mean then that Moses was meek? We see the same attitude in Jeremiah 26, 12 through 15. Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people saying, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city. All the words that you have heard, all the things that Jeremiah has been prophesying, things about their wickedness and about the things that they have done against the Lord's commands and the ways that they need to repent, you need to stop doing the things you're doing. Now, therefore, mend your ways and your deeds. Obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon the city and its inhabitants. For in truth, the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears." Now, the word meek is not used in this passage, but it is the same attitude that Moses demonstrates, and it's the same attitude that we're trying to get at through these different things. In Numbers, Moses was unwilling to stand up for himself. We're going to see that in the second passage that we read. Here in Jeremiah, a very similar thing. Yes, I am the servant of the Lord. Yes, I have pronounced these things on his command. But if you want to kill me, I will not resist. I will not stand up for myself. I will not try to exact vengeance upon you. You do with me what you want. This is the attitude of meekness. Meekness is not the lack of power, but the restraint of power. One who has no power cannot be meek. One who has no authority cannot be meek. Meekness is not lack of authority or power, lack of strength, but it is strength under control. It is authority not exercised when it could have been. It is power not used to its fullest extent. It is a matter of reliance more than ability. Who or what do you rely upon? In Moses and Jeremiah's case, they were not going to stand up for themselves. They were going to rely upon the Lord to either allow this bad thing to happen or to stand up for them. They were not going to do it themselves. It's a matter of self-denial, not taking action even when you feel you may have the right. I may have the right to do this or this or this. I may have a right to stand up for myself. I may have the right to discipline or to punish you, but I am not going to exercise that right. It is not the opposite of strength. It is the opposite of violence. From one of the dictionaries that I use, this is, I think, the best definition of meekness. Actually, this is from the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. Mildness of disposition, gentleness of spirit, meekness. Meekness towards God is that disposition of spirit in which we accept his dealings with us as good and therefore without disputing or resisting. In the Old Testament, the meek are those wholly relying on God rather than their own strength to defend themselves against injustice. We see that in Moses and Jeremiah. Thus, meekness towards evil means knowing that God is permitting the injuries that they inflict and that he is using them to purify his elect and that he will deliver his elect in his time. Meekness is letting God have control. This attitude is ultimately expressed most clearly in the birth, life, and death of Jesus, who, a being that has all power, infinite wisdom, infinite ability, and yet would descend to the earth to be an infant. Not a lack of power, but a restraint of power. A man who in his life could have smote people left and right, could have struck people blind, could have opened the earth and swallowed them, could have struck them with bolts of lightning, but he resisted that earth and allowed himself to be persecuted, to be tormented, to be tortured. Ultimately, in his death, is this expressed most of all, "God, I don't want this to happen, but nevertheless, your will and not mine be done." As he says to Peter in the garden, "Do you not know, Peter, that I could at once call and my Father would send 12 legions of angels? But I'm not going to exercise that right. I am going to allow others to have control over what happens to me. How will the meek be blessed? We look at this beatitude, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The key word here is inherit. The idea inherently means that the earth is not ours to give or take. You do not possess the earth. You do not have control over it. It's not yours to take and it's not yours to give. Who controls it? Isn't that God? Who is responsible for who possesses it? Isn't that God? The attitude stands in stark contrast to self-reliance and dependence, held in high regard by the world. This is what is meant by countercultural, that the world would have you believe that you need to stand up for yourself and take advantage of every right, that you need to be self-reliant, self-dependent. That is baloney. Meekness is letting God be in control, relying on his strength and his ability, not exercising every advantage that you possess. The concept of taking advantage of every right, the meek understand that just because I have rights does not mean I need to use them. Just because I have authority does not mean I need to exercise it. Just because I have ability does not mean that I need to use it. Just because I can doesn't mean I should. This is what meekness means. Having the ability, having the power, having the strength, and choosing not to use it. Romans 12, 16 through 21. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live it peaceably with all. What's the implication there? There's going to be some people you don't live peaceably with, and it's not going to be your fault. There's going to be some people that are not willing to let you live peaceably. That's why he says, insofar as it depends on you. That's not your fault. Beloved, never avenge yourselves. Sometimes I feel like this reads, we think this reads, never avenge yourselves when it's too extreme. Or never avenge yourselves when it would hurt another person. Or never avenge yourselves if it's inconvenient. Paul is very clear here. Never avenge yourselves. That is to say, there is no scenario in which it would be wise to avenge yourselves. And again, what does he say? Repay no one evil for evil. Is there an exception to that? Never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is meekness. This is what it means to be meek. Not to be weak, but to be controlled, to be restrained, to allow others to have advantage over you when you might otherwise have prevented it. The meek shall be blessed because they are the only ones who will accept God's authority to bestow what he alone can. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, because they're the only ones that understand that the earth is an inheritance, that it is controlled by another that can only be bestowed as he would will it, that it's not mine to take or to give, that I need to stand back and let God be in control. This is why those who are meek will be blessed, because they understand their own relationship to God, who is in control of all things. Those who are not meek would take for themselves what they need. Those who are not meek would rely upon their own strength. Those who are not meek would take vengeance for themselves and cut God out of the process. It is only those who are meek who will receive the blessing of God in this way. We'll finish the story in Numbers 12. Aaron and Miriam go before Moses. Is Moses the only one who God has spoken through? Have we not also been the instruments of God's will? Why is Moses in charge? He married this random foreign woman. And then it interjects, Moses was more meek than everyone else on earth. He was never going to stand up for himself. He was never going to take vengeance upon his brother and sister. He was never going to do that for himself. He was going to rely on God. And this is what God then did. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and Miriam, "Come out, you three, to the tent of meeting." Uh-oh, Dad's in trouble. And the three of them came out. The Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forward, and he said, "Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision," as they probably had experienced before, this vision idea that God revealed himself to the prophets in these visions. "I speak with him in a dream, but not so with Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly, and not in riddles, and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" You guys think you're prophets. You guys think you've received revelation from the Lord, and indeed you have in a certain way. I reveal myself to you in visions and dreams and riddles. But Moses, I talk to face to face. Moses, I reveal to him my will in the clearest possible way. Moses beholds me in a way that you will never. You people are fools. You should have recognized how great Moses is and held your tongues. Moses was never going to stand up for himself, and because of that, God did it for him. And consider what would have happened in the story had Moses not been meek. If he had tried to overcome Aaron and Miriam himself, if he had stood up for himself, if he had tried to do that himself, might have resulted in literally a civil war. As Aaron and Miriam drag their followers and Moses has his followers, leads to conflict. But because Moses was willing to back down, to not stand up for himself, to let God do what God wills, God shut them down immediately. "You people are idiots. Moses is better." And because it was God who said it and not Moses, they had no room to argue. They had no leg to stand on. They had no chance to draw people away because Moses allowed God to fight his battles and not himself. This is the promise of Matthew 5:5. "Blessed are those who will not take advantage of their own strength. Blessed are those who will not avenge themselves. Blessed are those who will not use every right and advantage they have, but who will rely on me because I will indeed deliver them. I will stand up for them and I will fulfill what needs to be fulfilled. I will take vengeance upon those who persecute them, but only for those who will not do it themselves." This is not a new promise. This is, in fact, the only beatitude that is quoted straight from the Old Testament. Psalm 37:8-11, "Refrain from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at this place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace." This is going to become more applicable, perhaps, in the coming years. We have, as Christians, enjoyed an unprecedented, literally unprecedented amount of religious freedom in this country. We have enjoyed an unprecedented amount of support, not only nationally, but in our communities. And this may change in the coming years. This is why it's so important to know what meek means. Forsake wrath. Tend to yourselves. Don't worry about it. Let God avenge you. Let God be in control. Let God take care of what's going on in the world. Do not seek it yourselves. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Maybe not in your lifetime, but certainly in eternity. The concept of waiting on the Lord, that yes, I don't know when it will be, but I know that ultimately it will be done. I will inherit the earth. I will possess the blessing that God has promised. Even if I don't know when, even if it may seem like it's too long from now, I need to wait and let God be in control. The question is, will you accept the Lord's dominion over your rights and your privileges? Yes, you have rights. Yes, you have privileges. But will you accept that God has control over those too? That just because you have the right to do something doesn't mean you should. And just because you have the ability to do something doesn't mean you should. Will you cede your power to God? That is the question that we all must answer. Am I striving to rely on my own strength? Or am I relying on the one who has promised that he will give me the earth?